Now here goes the point right here. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a person go on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can you take lust and hold it and play with it and pull it close to you and your clothes not be burned? The answer is absolutely not. That every time you do it, you're going to get on fire. Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Now, unless you just got some kind of mind control where you can walk and nothing happens, most of us don't have that ability. So what he's saying, that lust is like fire. And if you play with it, if you take it to your bosom, that it's gone.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Lust, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Lust, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
When lust is consumed and it brings forth sin, then what happens? Then a person starts feeling self-condemned and guilty. You know, so all the other stuff that you're dealing with, you know, you begin to ask yourself, how in the world did I let myself get into this situation? How did this happen? But then, you know, it's only for a moment, because that lust begins to stir up and back after it again. Jesus said this, that lust floods our soul with darkness. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, if evil things are coming in your eye, let me say that again. If evil things are coming in your eye, then your whole body is full of darkness. That there's a dark cloud over your soul whenever you allow your eyes to be flooded with evil things. So it floods the soul with darkness. It leads to destruction. It leads that lust, when you go through those four progressive stages, that lust every time will lead to destruction. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 24. Now somebody asked me, because we were talking about Genesis 6 in Bible study on Wednesday, and we talked about the sons of God and the daughters of men. And they, you know, who were those angels who were those sons of God in Genesis 6? And then we start talking about the daughters of women. And somebody asked me, how come the women always get dogged out? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm just reading the scripture as it's written. So I might get that same question today. Well, how come the women are getting dogged out? I don't know, but I'm just reading the scripture. But I'll say this, that I don't think it's talking to men and women, right? It's talking to men and women, all right? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a foreign woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of an unchaste woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now here goes the point right here. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a person go on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can you take lust and hold it and play with it and pull it close to you and your clothes not be burned? The answer is Absolutely not. That every time you do it, you're going to get on fire. Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Now, unless you just got some kind of mind control where you can walk and nothing happens, most of us don't have that ability. So what he's saying, that lust is like fire. And if you play with it, if you take it to your bosom, that it's going to burn you. And then finally, it wars against your soul. Lust actually wars against your soul. That every church service that you attend, and every time you hear the word of God and you sing a song, or every time you get up and have devotions, that if you are involved in lust, that it's just beating down all that goodness that you're putting in there. Because lust is strong, and it's passion, and it's desire. How do I know? Let me move here. How do I know if I have a lust problem? All right, I'm going to tell you. Chances are, if you have one or more than one of these, you got a lust problem. Do you find yourself thinking about a particular thing most of the time? What's on your mind most of the time? Right? Is it money? Is money on your mind most of the time? Well, then you got a lust problem. Is control on your mind most of the time? Then you got a lust problem. Is somebody you're not married to on your mind most of the time? You got a lust problem. All right? Do you find yourself talking about something a great deal of the time? You know, people on your job, right? Especially men on the job, you know, they always talk about things that they shouldn't be talking about. You know, it's either sports or something they shouldn't be talking about. All right? What's your conversation? You know, when you get around other people, what's your conversation? And there are some guys that you get around them and they only have one conversation. And that is the opposite sex. That's the only conversation. And so, given that being the case, I got to ask myself, am I struggling with a lust problem? Next, do you find ways to fulfill your lustful heart, the thoughts of your lustful heart? Are you finding ways that if you're lusting and now you're trying to look for ways to fulfill these things, then you have a lust problem. Do you find yourself giving in to the things that tempt you? Do you find yourself engaging in activities? That you want other people to know about. Right? You don't want other people to know about it. Why should I be involved in something I don't want people to know about? Right? Now, I mean, there's certain things, you know, some things are your business, right? And your business is your business. So, but this is not good business right here, right? This is not good business. So, I mean, if you're involved in something that you would be embarrassed for people to know that you are involved in, chances are that it's something that you shouldn't be doing. Do you find yourself thinking about things that are beyond your ability to obtain? Maybe money. Maybe power, again. Or maybe a person. All right? So, I would say that if any one of these you check, then you really need to hear what I'm getting ready to say now as I close my message today. How do you overcome lust? How do you overcome it? Well, we always want to go back to the Word of God, because I believe the Word of God has the answers for everything we need. And if we will just take the Word of God and apply it to our lives, that we can overcome most situations that we're dealing with. Now, there are problems that we may need to get some additional help on, and I understand that, but I'm just saying, most people that's dealing with a lust problem, that you can deal with it from the Word of God. And the reason that it turns into hideous things, like addictions and things of that nature, is because you don't deal with it when it's at this lust level. And then it gets out of control, and then it begins to destroy you. And then at that point, you know, you do need some serious intervention. But most of the stuff people can cut off right here. You can deal with it right here. If you will just take what the Word of God says. The first thing, identify the source of lust. What is the source of lust in your life? What is it? Money, power, sex, possessions? What is it? Acknowledge it, confess it, and ask the Lord to forgive you. That's the first step. Now, it's going to take more than that, but that's the first step in overcoming this problem of lust. The second thing is that you need to submit your mind, body, and soul to the Lord. The Bible says, yield the members of your body as instruments unto the Lord and not unto righteousness. Unrighteousness. And see, the thing is that some of us got saved, right? But we didn't let our eyes know we got saved. I'm trying to keep it above board now, saints. I'm trying to keep it straight. All right? We got saved, but we didn't let other parts of our body know we got saved. You got to submit, the Bible says, your mind, body, and soul to the Lord. You got to stay away from the things that feed your lust. Look at this. I want to look at this one right here. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Romans chapter 14, excuse me, 13 and verse 14. Paul says here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know what that means? In the Greek, make no provisions for the flesh. That's what it means. Don't give yourself opportunity. You know, if you're struggling with something, it's just like the story, right? I walked down the street, fell in the hole. Got up the next day, walked down the street, fell in the hole. Got up the next day, walked down the street, fell in the hole. Got up the next day, crossed the street. Make no provision for the flesh. I was talking to a guy one time, and he was dealing with drugs. And in Braddock, those of you who are familiar with Braddock, there's this place called Sixth Street. And at the time, Braddock has kind of calmed down now. But Sixth Street was where a lot of the drug dealers and the drug addicts hung out. And he was always down there. And he came to me, and man, he was crying. He said, I want to stop. I want to stop. He said, I just can't seem to. And the first thing I told him, I said, don't go down to Sixth Street. I mean, it's as simple as that. Don't go down to 6th Street. Now, I'm not saying that there's other places that might not tempt you, but, you know that 6th Street is not good for you. So don't go down to 6th Street. If you know that there's something that's feeding your addiction, if you know that there's something that's feeding your lust, Paul says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So that means that you cancel it out. Be sensitive to the times when you begin to slip into lustful thinking. So you ought to ask the Holy Spirit that as soon as lustful thoughts come into your mind, that right at that moment the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart. Now, if you're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You got the Spirit of God. And if you ask the Spirit of God that, Heavenly Father, whenever I start to think about lustful things, I just pray that you would prick my heart, that you would in my mind say, whoa, 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 hold up, pull the horses back. But see what happens? We go to that second stage, right? Observation, and then we move on to infatuation, and we just let it get all up in our head. And the next thing we know, man, it's off and running. It's off and running. So you got to pray and ask the Lord. See, I'm convinced that if you will kill it before it starts to grow, that you'll be all right. But once that thing, it's just like I heard this story about these Eskimos, and they were having problems with these wolves. And what they would do is they would get the blood of an animal, and they would put layers and layers of this animal blood on this real razor-sharp knife. And then what they would do is they would take the knife and they would fix it into the snow. And then they would cover it up. And when these wolves would come around, they would smell this blood. And the wolves will start licking the snow where they smell the blood. And they just keep licking it and licking it, and pretty soon they split their tongue. And they become so passionate, and they become so engrossed in just licking the blood that they start licking their own blood. And it just puts them in a frenzy, and they go wild just licking it. And the Eskimos said the next morning when they come, the wolf is lying there dead. And that's what lust does. Lust, it gets out of control, and it's just like that wolf licking that knife. And then the next thing you know, man, your eyes are red and fired up, and you're consumed, and you're overwhelmed. And it brings, as James says, it brings forth death. Brings forth death. Job, in Job 31, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a maiden lustfully. So you got to make a covenant with your eyes that whatever the thing that you're lusting after, that you will check your heart and that you will not lust after those things. It may even come down to you writing out a covenant and making a covenant with your eyes. I, so-and-so, will not look lustfully upon so-and-so. Now, Job was a godly man. Job, when God wanted to point out somebody who was godly to Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him in all the earth. Nobody. And then Job says that I struggle with lust. Job, God, this godly man. So we all have some struggles. But what did Job do? Job knew how to deal with his struggle. He made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon a maiden lustfully. And so there, you may need to make a covenant. You need to renew your mind daily. You need to renew your mind daily. I have a hard time believing. I might be wrong when I'm saying this, but I just have a hard time believing that people who are in the Word on a daily basis have passions and lusts that are out of control. I just have a hard time. Now, it might be true, but I just have a hard time believing it. And you know, you don't even have to go very far. Just check your own life. And just examine the times when you're not in the Word in prayer. And just think about some of the things that you deal with in your mind, some of the thoughts that you have. That's why, saints, every Sunday, in some shape or form, I get up here and I say that you need to read the Word of God and you need to pray. Why? Because it's a purifying, it's a cleansing upon your life, it's a renewing of your mind. And if we don't renew our mind, then we are open to all type of attacks by the enemy. Number seven, you need to find an accountability partner. Now, we don't want to do this. You know why? Because it goes back to one of the things I said earlier. You don't want people to know what you're doing. Yeah. Amen. You know, accountability partner. You need to have somebody that's going to hold you accountable. Somebody that's going to be there. That, you know, at the end of the week or 2 weeks, that somebody is going to sit down and look you in the face and say to you, have you done such and such a thing? And then for you to be able to sit there and say, no, I didn't, and say, praise God. Or to sit there and know that you did and lie. Which then you got another problem. Right? But you know what I find with accountability partners? That generally, if they're holding you accountable for something, when you go meet with them, you don't want to tell them that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And so accountability partner not only provide somebody at the end of the week to hold you accountable, but even while you're in it, you know, you're thinking, well, you know what, I got a choice. I can do this or I can do this. But you know what? I think that I'm going to do this because at the end of the week, I know that so-and-so is going to ask me, did I do this? And I want to be able to sit before them and I want to be able to say, God bless me, and I didn't. Accountability partner. You know, now, There's two scriptures that we see here. You know, James says, confess your faults one to another. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about, having somebody that will hold you up and to be accountable to. So get an accountability partner, somebody that you can trust, all right? Somebody that's tight, that you know, that you can share, and that they're going to hold you accountable. And then lastly, realize that it's the will of God for your life that you abstain from lust. People always want to know, what is it God's will for me to go to this school? Is it God's will for me to work on this job? Is it God's will for me to marry this person? And those are things that, you know, God shows us with time. But there are certain things that we don't even need to ask whether it's the will of God or not. The Bible says that it's God's will that you abstain from lust. That's the will of God. So, I mean, you don't have to pray about, oh, Lord, please show me whether or not I should lust after this person. You don't need to pray about that. The scripture is very clear. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication and lust. That's the will of God. So that's how you know the will of God. Amen. A little rough message this morning, saints. A little rough message. Maybe we'll do something a little different next week. Lighten the mood a little bit. All right. But, as we come, Jesus, realized the significance of this issue. Because he even said that if a man look upon a woman with lust in his heart, that he's already committed adultery. Yes, so even Jesus, when he came and walked this earth, all the things that he said, that was one of the things that he said that stuck out. I mean, there's a lot of things he said that stuck out, but that was one thing he said that stuck out. So he knew that it was an issue with people. And so as we come today, I just want to pray that if, you're struggling with it, I want to include you in this prayer. And if you're not, then praise God. We pray that you would stay on that road of purity. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and I just thank you, Father, for the patience of this congregation today. Lord, as we have dealt with a very tender and very sensitive issue, Lord, but something that's necessary, because it's something that you have said in your word over and over again. And Lord, we know that you realize what's happening in the lives of people today, that lives are being destroyed because people's lust are out of control. That there are people who are in jail. There are families that have been broken up. There are leaders that have been disqualified, all because they didn't control their lust. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help us to understand the severity and the sensitivity of this issue. And, Lord, that you would help us to gain the victory if we need it, or to keep walking in victory if we're already doing it. Lord, touch the hearts of the people today. Each and every person, Lord, touch them today. And if they're struggling with this issue, Lord, give them strength and give them the power, Lord, to be free in Jesus Christ. Because who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Touch him today, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that's not...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Weariness Worn Out by the Men on Foot. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Lust, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Lust, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Lust, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.